All right, 10 plagues, Jehovah versus the gods of Egypt. 10 plagues, Jehovah versus the gods of Egypt. Now, previously, as we've been away from it for a little while, let me just remind you that Moses and Aaron had already in the past confronted Pharaoh, and God had told them to deliver a simple message, "Let my people go." And so they delivered that simple message, and Pharaoh would have none of it. Everything changes now when we come to Exodus chapter 7. Now Jehovah will reveal his power through his servant Moses. He's not only going to deliver a message, but he is going to back it up with a demonstration of divine power. You see, God's ultimate purpose is to bring Pharaoh and the Egyptians to their knees so that they would let the Jews go. Jews were an integral part of their economic society. They were what made the wheels of the economy turn there. There was more Jewish slaves than there was Jewish citizens. So he wasn't listening. He didn't want anything to do with that. However, at the same time that God is revealing his mighty power to Pharaoh and putting the pressure on Pharaoh, you know, the Israelites weren't peachy either. The Israelites, many of them had gotten away from the Lord. They were worshiping the gods of Egypt. And so he was revealing himself to them as well. Look at Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5, and it says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." He's going to show his power by judging Pharaoh. He's going to show his power by rescuing the Israelites as they come forth. Now, when we come to the plagues, we're coming to the plagues. We'll come to one of them this evening. Each one of the plagues, God sending a direct attack upon their false gods. He's going to prove that they're useless, that they're vain, that they're no good, that they're fake. And this will also show the Israelites his mighty power. Exodus 12:12b says, "Against all the gods of Egypt," Exodus 12:12b, "against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D." That is Jehovah. That's the Tetragrammaton. That's the powerful name of God. Now, he's showing that these 80 gods of Egypt are no match for him. He is the true, the only true, and the living God. But the people of Israel need to learn that lesson too. Now, you can kind of hold your finger in Exodus 7 because we're going to go there, but I want you to flip all the way over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20, just before Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel chapter 20, I want to read that to you. So if you can follow along with me, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 in Ezekiel chapter 20. And it came to pass, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 1, "And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before them." It says, "And then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying," to Ezekiel, "saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you." Why are you coming to me? You don't respect me. You're going to see what's going on. They've been going after the gods of Egypt. It's very interesting when Christians a lot of times are walking at a distance from the Lord. They're prayerless. They're living worldly lives. Then they want to talk of God and wonder why heaven seems to not hear their prayer. God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It says, wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their fathers. It says, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt. And when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into the land which I have espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord. If you're going to be in fellowship with the Lord, you got to seek Him first. He's got to be number one. It can't be your own thing. You can't spin things the way that you want them. It says in verse 8, but ye rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man, they didn't do it, they did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my namesake, that I should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. You know, just by way of application, if the Lord saved you, if Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you're not your own. I'm not my own. We've been bought with a price. So it doesn't matter what we want. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So anyway, not only was he going to teach the Egyptians a lesson, he was also going to teach the Israelis a lesson. The Lord judged them because they would not get rid of their idols and wholly follow Him. Well, let's look back now at Exodus chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Exodus 7, 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of the land. You'll remember, if you look back at Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, that Pharaoh didn't want any direct dealings with God. He wouldn't have it. He says, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. So he says, I'm not going to listen to the Lord. You know, God's a spirit, though He has His messengers. And so Pharaoh's not off the hook then. Pharaoh's not off the hook. He says, I'm not going to deal with your God. I don't know Him, don't care about Him, don't want anything to do with Him. You know, just forget it. Well, God tells Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. It's very interesting. The word translated God there is Elohim. Moses would seem to Pharaoh to be a god. Because Moses would reveal God's message and God would empower Moses from here on out. Every time Moses came into the presence of Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," the first time Pharaoh just said, "Ah, are you kidding? I'm not gonna let it," and nothing happened. But that's not true anymore. Every time that Moses comes into the presence and delivers God's message, he tells Aaron what God told him, and Aaron will then deliver that message and say, "Moses said, this is it." And when Pharaoh disobeyed, there was God's power behind it. There was an all-out attack on the gods of Egypt. Because at this point, you know, he had mocked God. He said, "I know not the Lord. I mean, who is he? He's got no power. Nothing. Forget it." Hence, Moses is to represent God before Pharaoh. Moses is very physical presence. And Aaron is to represent Moses before Pharaoh. And that is what Exodus chapter 7 verse 2 says. "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee." So Moses got his message from God. And then he speaks God's message to Aaron, who then stands there with Moses right next to him and delivers God's message to Pharaoh. "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and he shall send the children of Israel out of the land." Now we come to verses 3 through 6. So let's follow along in your scriptures in verses 3 through 6. "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and will multiply many signs and many wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you." It says that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. Excuse me. Some people have a hard time and balk at God hardening Pharaoh's heart. However, they do not understand the broad picture here. Pharaoh was in rebellion against the Lord. He had held them captive almost 400 years. He had already proved himself to be an extremely wicked king. And if you want to do a study, it's clear that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. In Exodus chapter 5, in verse 2, it says, "And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord?" And so he hardens his heart there. In Exodus chapter 8, and down in verse 15, it says, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart, not unto them, and heareth, and hearkened," listened, "and hearkened not unto them." So he hardened his heart there. Verse 32, he hardened his heart. 9:7, he hardens his heart. Verse 34 of chapter 9, he hardens his heart. So Pharaoh is already against God. Pharaoh, "I'm not letting them go. They make the wheels of the economy work. Forget it." He's already hardened. He's already evil. He's already cruel. Now, God has the absolute right to harden a man's heart who is in rebellion against him. I'm thinking of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy." 10 times. Now, Pharaoh's already hardened his heart, and God just confirms what Pharaoh already has done. He's already hardened, and God says, "All right, then you're going to be in it." Exodus 4, 21 through 23, God hardens his heart. And 7, 1 through 6, God hardens his heart. 9:12, 10:1, in verse 20 and 27 of chapter 10, in the verse chapter 11, verse 10, and 14 verse 4, and then 14:8 and 14:17. 10 times God additionally hardens Pharaoh's already hardened heart. Here's my whole point. God is hardening Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh provided the arrogant, proud heart suitable to hardening, and God provided the commands, the threats, and the judgment, and Pharaoh was there, and he was fighting against God, but he was losing. You can't fight against God and win, Christians. Sometimes you want to do your own thing. You can't fight against God and win. Pharaoh's hardness is what causes God to bring 10 mighty acts, 10 plagues, against Egypt. The 10 plagues accomplished several things. Number one, they were assigned to Israel, assuring them that God's power and care was with them. Verse 3, it says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." God is showing Israel. He's there. He's going to release them. They're going to be let go. And he backed it up with proof. Number 2, they were plagues to judge Egypt for punishing and executing and persecuting Israel. And they also revealed the foolishness of their gods. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 9, down in verse 14. It says, "And I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in the earth." You think you're strong, you think you're powerful, right? This time in the world, Egypt was the world power. But there's no world power that's stronger than God, my friends. And he was going to show them that. Number 3, here's what I think is so cool. As I look at these plagues, they're a prophecy of the coming judgment that we see in Revelation. Guess what? In Revelation chapter 8, verse 8, the waters turned to blood. The frogs in 16:13 of Revelation, the disease and affliction in 16:2, the hail and the fire in 8:7, the locust in 9:1, and the darkness in 16:10. These are all prophetic. You see, I don't know who they are, but God's going to send 2 witnesses back during the time of the Great Tribulation. Some people think, because of these plagues, some people think one of them is going to be Moses. I don't know that. I think it's going to be Enoch and Elijah, but that's all speculation. God can do what he wants to do. It could be 2 people that we don't even know. But Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And Elijah was taken by a whirlwind into heaven. And so there's only 2 people recorded in the scripture that didn't die. And the Bible says it's appointed unto men what? Wants to die. So there's my reasoning behind that. But let's look at verse 7 and 8 going back there. These are young fellows. It says in verses 7 and 8 that Moses is 80 and Aaron's 3 years older. Aaron's 83. Now, here's the part that it gets really interesting in 8 through 13. The war between God and the gods. Now let's look at verse 8. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before the servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man their rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkeneth not unto them as the Lord had said. In your study notes, you'll see a picture of the crown of the Egyptian pharaohs. And Tutankhamun, you will also see a serpent in Tutankhamun's crown, but also there's a bird in Tutankhamun's crown because the serpent was for northern and the bird was southern Israel that was united in the time of Tutankhamun, upper and lower Egypt. But the snake, the cobra, was the earliest of the deities depicted as a cobra. This was a goddess, a female goddess, and it was the goddess Wajet. And it was either a part of the crown or it was a serpent that encircled the head as the crown with the serpent as in striking position. And this indicated the protection and the divine authority of the Pharaoh over Egypt. I think that that's funny. So he has the serpent is a symbol. It's a symbol that he's divine and it's a symbol of protection. And that's why it's interesting what happens. You heard it. God commanded that Aaron throw down his staff and it becomes a serpent in verse 10. But what was happening here, this was directly challenging and demeaning the authority of the Pharaoh. Here, God is crawling on his belly in the dust. And when Aaron did that, he was taking the symbol of the king's power and his claim to divinity and majesty and making it crawl on the ground. And that was a direct assault upon Pharaoh, and it was an assault on their entire belief system. In verses 11 through 13, the sorcerers then come in and they throw down their rods on the ground and more serpents come out, and I'm sure they were proud of themselves at that point before all this. He only made one snake, but look at us. We made a bunch of snakes. But what was so cool was that Aaron's rod swallowed up the snakes of the magicians. You know what that proved? That was their major deity. God had more power than their deity. He swallowed up all of their snakes. You know, that indicated to Pharaoh that he did not have the power to protect his land and his people. That indicated to Pharaoh that he was not he wasn't divine. And what that indicated was that he was actually no match for Jehovah at all. He should have quit while he was ahead. He was defeated, but he refused to admit it. In fact, his heart became hardened all the more. Now, I want to take you back a little bit. We looked at it. Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? All the way back to Genesis. It's in your notes, but you can turn there if you want. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Here's the reason. The reason is the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 12 and 3, and it says, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know, I see a rise in anti-Semitism across the world today. The United Nations is so anti-Semitic, I cannot tell you. God is going to judge the United Nations because I believe one of the only reasons that God has not really completely judged the United States of America as we deserve is because we have been the protectors of Israel. God says, I will bless them that bless thee. Who around the world, except the United States of America, is intervening on behalf of Israel? We're it. Now, I'm going to stray away just a minute. That's why I think that as we're protecting Israel, somehow, some way, and I don't know how it'll happen, but you can disagree with me or not, but I do not see America a lot in end times prophecies. Maybe Tarshish and her young lions. But I think there's going to come a day when America is powerless to protect Israel. As long as America is powerful in protecting Israel, we'll still have blessing. But who knows if an anti-Semitic president gets elected, what will happen. I do know what will happen. He won't protect him. And when that happens, listen to me, when that happens, that'll set things up for Israel to accept the offer of protection from the Antichrist. Because there's no America anymore. And so Antichrist comes and says, I'll protect you. Sign this 7-year peace treaty with me. But anyway, I got aside of that. I'm doing some additional study on that. But the reason, I mean, God keeps his promises. Way back in Genesis, the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, God says, I will bless them that blesses thee. And Israel was in Abraham. I will bless and curse them that curse thee. And God is judging Egypt, and God will judge any country who persecutes Israel. God is going after Pharaoh for 400 years. Israel was enslaved for the better part of that time, for more than 3 centuries, almost 4. There was some at the beginning where that didn't happen. So it's clear with regard to Pharaoh, God's purpose was not that Pharaoh would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, but rather that God would be glorified through Pharaoh's defeat because of his persecution, Egypt's persecution of Israel. Paul says as much in Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared through all the earth. You know what? God's name is being declared today. As we rehearse this story, this true story, and so it's come to pass. Now I want to get to the first plague. The water turned to blood. In your study notes, you see a rendition of Happy, the Egyptian god of the Nile. They believed that Happy was responsible for the annual flooding of the lowlands of Egypt. The floods deposited rich, fertile soil along the banks and the lowlands, allowing them to have wonderful crops because the water flowed down and would flood and deposit it there. And the first plague that was on the Egyptians from God was the turning of the water to blood. Aaron, the spokesman for Moses, touched the rod of the Lord on the Nile River, and immediately it turned to blood. I know everybody tries to make it was a red tide. You know what? I just know that God did it. All the fish died. If you can, I hope not, but blood decays quickly and it stinks. I can tell you from firsthand experience. and the river stank. The fish, dead fish, and the blood. And the magicians of Egypt were partially able to duplicate the miracle, but that really didn't impress Pharaoh at all. Oh, more blood, more dead animals, more dead fish. And Pharaoh was unimpressed. 7 days! Not only the water in the river, but in the lakes. 7 days throughout the land of Egypt, they remained in this stinking state, unsuitable for drinking. And this was the perfect length of time for the Lord to demonstrate His superiority over Happy, the God of the Nile and the God of the waters. Let me just read the account to you in 14 through 25 and make a few closing comments and we'll be done. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, and lo, he goeth out unto the river. Now, he probably was going there to take a bath. Boy, is that going to be messed up for him. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned into a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. To this point you wouldn't listen. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord, I am Jehovah. Behold, I will smite with the rod this in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned into blood, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thine hand upon the water of Egypt and upon the streams and upon their rivers and upon their pools and upon their ponds and upon their pools of water. So it just wasn't the river, that they may become blood and that they may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. You know where they kept the waters for the house? And vessels of wood and vessels of stone. So it wasn't just a river. It wasn't just the ponds. It wasn't just the streams. It wasn't just the pools. It was the water in their house. Waters that were in the rivers turned to blood. And the fish that we just got said it was going to happen. The fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water in the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. He didn't pay any attention to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. They're powerful gods. They're snake god. Eaten up.
their powerful river god that provided them crops and food and water to drink. Stinking, bloody, couldn't drink. God's tightening the vise. God's tightening the vise. Because along the line, down the line, nine more times, by the way, finally, Pharaoh is going to say, leave. Take things with you. They're going to give him money and gold. Take this with you too. But it's very interesting how stubborn Pharaoh can be. It's also very interesting how stubborn we can be. You can't fight with God and win in the long run. Maybe there's something in your life that the Lord's been bugging you about. You know you need to get the victory over. Don't harden your neck. Take care of it with God. Let's pray.